put more in. Would you put the seal, would you put the seal of thing back on the phone? Good morning, sir. How are you doing today? I just wanted to check with you. How many did you show at the Douglas today?
Okay, I have two for CPU, the one that was for you is Mr. Bacosatula. I have three from here scheduled.
Okay.
After the two CPU, and then I actually have three from Mohawk yourself, so I think that's still about eight guys.
Okay, we're close. Okay, I just want to make sure that we're close. Thank you so very much, and we'll get started with this gentleman now.
All right, I'll get him online.
Thank you so very much. Good morning. Before we get started, what is your name, sir? Okay, along with Mr. Johnson, we'll conduct your hearing at this time, sir.
Good morning, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing all right.
Good, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that will be conducting your hearing this morning. To my far right is the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. Coming down the line is the Honorable Luis Quinones. In the middle here is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chair. To my immediate left is the Honorable David Neal, sir. My name is Michael Johnson, sir. I'm going to be acting as your panel chair this morning, okay?
Okay.
Sir, also with us representing the Department of Correction is Mr. Westby. I think you can see Mr. Westby on the screen now. He is representing the Department of Correction as well as your parole officer. Sir, prior to your hearing today, you signed and received a notification from the body of this board's hearing. Do you recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
Yes.
So on that form, sir, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or hire a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, or you representing yourself today?
I represent myself.
Okay, so at this time, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Westby in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes.
Sir, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. A phase one will determine whether the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated, and phase two will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out at phase one. So you have one allegation listed on your warrant. I'm going to read that allegation to you listed on your warrant. When I read that allegation to you, sir, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir?
Yes.
Okay, the allegation on your warrant states your violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 7 as demonstrated by your use of alcohol on or about January 30, 2018, total tax law report dated January 31st, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
True.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, well, based on the admission of Mr. Pugahastu, I hope I got that right, close to it, sir, I find that he violated the terms and conditions of the supervision that he may have lapsed or not to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Three. Agreed. Okay, so we're going to go into phase two of your hearing. During phase two, sir, the board will make a determination whether we revoke or reinstate you under community supervision. We're going to start out phase two, sir, first getting some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Westby. Then we're going to get some, go over some information with you, sir. Then we're going to come back to you, sir, to get any information that you'd like to present to the board at that time, okay? Mr. Westby.
On June 12, 2017, Mr. Gregory Shikua was released to DOC. He was arrested February 1st, 2018 by DOC staff.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. February what?
February 1st, 2018.
Okay.
He was back in DOC custody that same day. His projected CCD is March 22nd, 2019. Contradiction, 2007, manslaughter, 12 and a half years. has no prior convictions. This is his first time at DOC. Steve, you high art score, 2-3, mental health score, 1, substance abuse score, is not listed. He has no other information, no, no prior terms of supervision. Is this one in violations of mail? There is no other arrest on record, and his community risk score is a G1G1.
Okay, so I see that you were released on June 12th of 2017. When you were released from prison, you were approved to stay at Changes at 1344 South Mesa Drive in Mesa, Arizona. You were arrested in office for violation of conditional supervision on October 26th. You were then reinstated by this board, so directed to reside at Changes at 1344 South Mesa Drive. You were discharged from Changes on January 29th, 2018 for returning back to Changes 24 hours late from weekend pass, was given a breathalyzer, and you blew a 3.1 on the judge and staff. So what happened? What was going on? And I see, were you working during that time?
Yes, I was working during that time.
So it says that you were referred to TASS for running urinalysis testing, and it looks like you were doing pretty good. Looks like in June, July, August, October, November, December 17, and January 18, and January 30th. And you submitted until January 30th, you was the first time you came up, supposedly you produced a positive for alcohol. Said that you were referred to anger management class, you completed that and attended 17 out of 18 required group prior sentence. So what happened? Why were you why did you start back to drinking?
You called me.
Why did you start back to drinking, sir?
Just have a seat.
Why did you start back to drinking, sir?
I was supposed to get an apartment and things like that, and beginning to run around and all that, so I don't know, it's just a way of being, not even being able to have my own place and stuff like that, so it was a stupid mistake that I made. I mean, like you said, if you see the under report right there, I mean, I was doing good. No positive UAs for so long, and it was a stupid decision I made.
Okay, so it also says that your GPS was going low and that you was at the Motel 6, and they could hear that you first said that you were there visiting some friends, and then you later admitted that you were there with your wife and your child. That time you was placed in cuffs and arrested for a violation of your conditions. What was going on there, sir?
That was
that was in August.
Last year around August.
Yes.
That we had it on. And you mean my conditions didn't say anything about when I first got out. That I was supposed to have a GPS or anything like that, so when I got out, I see my daughter and all that, until one day they ended up coming up and saying that I need a GPS on, and I just wanted to at least spend the night with my daughter, you know what I mean? And it's just a... It was just a whole misunderstanding on myself, another mistake. But all I wanted to be was a father to my daughter, and without the conditions, I never signed the conditions when I first got out, stating that I did need a GPS on. So I assumed it was okay until like about, I think it was a month or a month and a half later that they finally told me that I needed a GPS on.
Thank you. over, sir, it looks like you signed the conditions of release on January 17th or 18th, is that what you're trying to say?
January 17th?
Yeah, of this year.
Seventeen, yes.
It says, so you were violated, when you were violated, you came before this board, the board reinstated you. Why were you violated at that time, sir?
It was for that, for the GPS one. That's what I came to, up to the parole board about now, that was last year.
And the board reinstated?
That's when they got, the board reinstated me, how's that? The one I'm here on right now is for the alcohol one.
Yes, sir.
For the condition 7.
Right, for the
alcohol. Yeah. But when I did get back out in August, I think that was we stated, they did put the GPS back on me. And I did do all the 90 days. I was supposed to take out the GPS on that Monday, I think it was, the week that I got, that I was put back into custody. I was supposed to take it out on that Monday, but I was out of the reservation during the ceremony, so that's why I didn't get it out that day.
Okay. All right, sir. I am going to see if the board has any additional questions. I see Mr. Westby has a question. Go ahead, Mr. Westby.
I just want to ask a point of education in regards to the condition of the supervision and the previous violations here. I'm looking at the front of the building, and it states that on August 24th, 2017, it says, this is from Kilo Bullock, his relationship should go to Chelsea Brothers Birchwood, manslaughter conviction for shaking the baby, offender will not be able to have contact with one of the other attorneys because the GPS takes exclusion for one's home. Offender Clinton was married while in prison, conceived also while in prison. And he had conditions that were signed, which were August 24th, 2017, that same date, that specifically stated on it. Condition 12A will not be allowed to have any form of contact with anyone under the age of 18 without parent or guardian present, and without prior authorization from my son, assigned parole officer, indicating that the parole officer would have to give permission for him to have contact with his daughter. I was always then under the age of 18, that's condition 12B, and I would not care or monitor, care for or monitor anyone under the age of 18 under any circumstances for a reason to condition 12C. He signed those conditions, and the violation that he was in for, which the board did reinstate him, was a condition 12A, which was demonstrated by his board without directions to have contact with a child under the age of 18. Made that contact at his wife's home with his daughter. So as far as the state that he was not aware that he could not have contact with the child, he's crossing.
Okay, so, I asked this question before. I don't think I quite understood your answer. So, you were in a halfway house and you started drinking. Why did you start back to drink, sir?
I had a rough time, just trying to get a place for myself, trying to get out of the halfway house. And they were jumping to run around and they got to me. I mean, just wanted to get in my own place and not wanting to go back to a halfway house, wanting to go back to somewhere where I wanted to, that I knew that was my own place. And just the struggle of kinds of not being able to have your own place and having to come back to some place that ain't even your own. It just got to me, and I don't know, it just, I thought a dream would do it, but like I said, it was a mistake.
Why weren't you back at curfew time, sir?
Actually, right there is, I didn't let the manager know, and I let him know on that Friday when I took my weekend pass that I wasn't going to be back till Monday, and he said it was all right. That's one of the things that kind of upsets me, is that why would he say it was okay, and then when I got kicked out of the halfway house, now he's saying that it wasn't all that I was late on 24 hours. He said it was okay that I would come back on Monday.
Okay, so sir, you recall when you appeared before this board, is that right? Do you recall when you appeared before the board, sir?
Yes.
Do you recall when the board gave you specific instructions that you were not to drink any alcohol, and if you drank any alcohol upon your first miss, diluted, or unsuitable for testing, or unexcused UA, that the revocation process you were going to be revoked, and you remember that?
Yes.
Okay. Also, the revocation process was a start upon your first violation. So this board gave you the opportunity to be out after you had been revoked once, and we gave you that opportunity to be out. Why would you start to drink it? So when you know that's was one of the stipulations that were put on you for violation.
Like I said, it's just a bunch of stress and all that. That's why, like I said, it was a mistake. I shouldn't have did it.
Okay, so I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions. See, I'm not questions. Mr. Kenyon, I'm going to let you. Mr. Kenyon, did you have a question?
No, I was just trying to see what was just to move on.
Okay, so you do have one supporter here. Your wife is here. Let me swear you in first. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God and do you so far? Okay. Will you just come up to the mic and go ahead and state your name, and then present any information you'd like to present to the board?
My name is Ethan. I understand the first time that you got a letter, we signed the agreement that he stopped and came around my daughter. My daughter was 5 years old. When he came home from prison, when we went to see his parole officer the first day he was out, his parole officer was never there. He never got anything stating he was not allowed to be around at all by any parole officer. He wasn't meant to see his parole officer till another 2 weeks. It was a month after he got out was when they assigned him to go come back and see. And then within that month, he got a call stating that he was going to be dropped down to minimum supervision and he was going to get a new parole officer. So with that, we went to go see her. She had called stating that if I wrote a letter that my husband was more than welcome to be around my daughter, that's all I had to do to get him to be around her was my permission. I did that. I called her. And then a couple days later is when we heard that he had to put a GPS. He was not allowed to be around her. Having my husband come home for 3 months, being with my daughter every day, going to visit every weekend to see my husband with my daughter, it's the hardest thing to see your daughter be so waiting for that. For him to just want to be a dad from the beginning, it's all he wanted to do. All we were going to do that night was for him to see her for a couple minutes. Not even long, just to see her so he can do this 90 days of being away from her. He wanted to see his daughter when he has time. As a parent, anybody would want to do that. He did that. My car GPS went off. It's under a contract where if the payment is not paid on time, the car GPS shuts off. I didn't have any place to get the car moved. The weekend, the office is closed, so I can't make a partial payment. We had to call my dad and have him come pick us up. 5 months to try to get it started. The second time around, I do know that he told his halfway house manager he was not going to be back until Monday night. Because he was telling him, you need to clean up the leaves and everything before you go. He said, well, I go to the reservation, I have a ceremony, and I told you that, you know, we're trying to get on the road before it gets dark, because halfway to the reservation is a lot of help. I only have bad eyes. I don't like to drive at night because my eyes are not well. My husband doesn't have a driver's license. I have to drive by myself. So I had to drop her off with my sister so that they can take her and I can take him. So she went out to the reservation where I'm from. We live, our families are about an hour and a half away from each other. His family's, and when we were from the same tribe, but our reservation stretches about, you know, a couple hundred miles. So where he's from is about an hour and a half away from where I'm from. So my daughter went with my sister so that she could be with my family. This is my first, the first time my husband was able to participate in a ceremony that brings nourishment to your body by being able to plan and provide the traditional food that we cook on these type of things that we have. And that's the reason why we told him we weren't going to do that to Monday, because he had the plan on Monday. He already knew from the beginning he was not going to do that to Monday night, because they go and plant on Monday morning. They have to sing, they have to pray, they have to do all this. So we already knew from the minute that he asked for it, she was still his parole officer. Is it okay if he goes home? And she said yes. Then he got switched over to Lopez, and he also informed her that I had told her that I'm going to be out of town, and she said it's okay to inform me. And she said, yes, I understand. So
let me interrupt you, okay? Because we do understand that he was violated and he was reinstated. And whatever the conditions of his reinstatement, that he was not drinking any alcohol. And he was drinking.
I didn't know.
Okay, he was drinking alcohol. Although he was late for the church, he did that. His main violation is that he was drinking alcohol. He was told by the board, one of the conditions by his board is that he was not to consume any alcohol. And that's what he's being violated for. We reinstated him on the other
issue. I didn't know he was drinking, I didn't know he was consuming alcohol. All I know is that whole week, we tried and tried and tried to get him into the apartment. We went to the apartment manager every single day, called her every day, and all she kept saying was, tomorrow this, tomorrow that. And the frustration in him, I don't know how to handle, because he's always been locked up to where I don't know how to handle their stress. I don't know how, you know, the best thing I can do is just wait it out. It'll happen. Tomorrow it might happen. You never know. Just hold out. I don't live with him. I don't stay in the halfway house. I live in Phoenix. I didn't know this was going on. You know, if I knew it, I could have stopped it.
Okay, well, that's what we've been. We reinstated him on the other issue that you're explaining, but the alcohol was a strict condition that was put on.
I can honestly say it's the only time that it's ever happened. I've been with him every day. I picked him up from work every day. I was with him every evening because, you know, I can't stay with him. So I go and eat dinner with him and go home to my daughter, because it's hard to live two separate lives when you're choosing between your child and your husband.
I want to tell you that I do. I mean, I certainly understand, and I understand the complexity of what happened. But the problem is that because of the crime that he committed and the manslaughter and the shaking of the baby, because of those issues, there were strict restrictions put on him, and being intoxicated has an influence on those things happening. And so that's why it was so important that he not have that. And like he was before this board, he said that he wasn't even going to do that.
It was a one-time thing. It was within that week. I mean, we've all been stressed. We've all gone through things, and him not talking about it, I'm pretty sure bottled up to that. You know, because like they say, your feelings come out when you get drunk. I don't know. I don't know what his intentions were with that, if that was just his best way he could. Bills were already behind. We were already stressing. We were already in a situation that we don't want to be in, because we're knows your dad from the video. That's all my daughter knows my dad by, even the past 6 months. He went back in for the room. She had seen him. We had talked to him. He came home for 3 months. He had had her almost every night before she went to sleep, because that's all he can do. We've never, like I said, I'm with him every day. I go, try to do things that, just going, you know, driving around and going to just different places, malls, going to eat somewhere, going to visit, you know, his friends that he hasn't seen, his aunts and uncles that are down here, you know. That's all he can do, because my daughter lives with me, he can't go home with me, he lives in a halfway house, I can't go home with him. So, mother was already a problem for us going in with this, because we have to rent hotels to spend time together, and I have to pay a babysitter to watch my daughter, so I can spend the night with my husband. I have to have somebody to watch my daughter all the night. So, mother was already going in with them, you know, going into this apartment, left and right, and getting shut down because he has a felony. He doesn't, you're not even going to try to look at his papers because of that. And in order for him to get a place, his, or stay there, his name has to be somewhere on the lease. And no apartment is going to work with somebody that has a prior conviction. That was the hardest thing, and I tried so hard while he was at work to try to get him an apartment. And the stress that I had from it, you know, I have more people to talk to than he does. And I know that he doesn't try to talk to me about it because he feels like he's putting more stress on me. And I wish he would talk to me about it rather than going to alcohol. I didn't know this until 3 o'clock in the morning when they called and said he was going to kick up. Like I said, I could have talked to him, but I told him I was tired from driving and I wanted to go to sleep. He probably did want to talk. But I was tired. I was exhausted. I have to go work the next day. I just drove for 5 hours. You know, I want to go to sleep. I don't want to be up anymore talking, you know. I can't explain for his actions, but I do know that. I know he was, he didn't mean to. I know he did.
What other questions? Okay, thank you. Senator, the bill's about to go into discussion. While we're in discussion, we'll make a determination whether we vote or reinstate you under community supervision. Is there anything else you'd like to say to this board before we go into discussion, sir, without repeating yourself?
I just wanted to say that I know I messed up. I'm sorry. I did not do anything just to get back out in the next 11 years. I started getting acclimated to society out there. Like my wife said, all we were doing was just spending our time together. All I was doing was working and doing good. I was done with my classes. Had a job, everything, passed few ways. And then I said it was a mistake. Just ask you guys to Lisa, I'm sorry that it was a mistake. I mean, everybody makes mistakes.
Okay, sir, thank you. The board's going to discuss it now. So I'm going to ask you, Mr. Bigger, to stay on the line, and you can hear the board's discussion while we're discussing, and we'll make a decision and get back to you. I do understand the difficulty that Mr. Bigger Sawatawa was going through with his family, and but he had stipulations that was put on him, came before the board at that time, before this board reinstated him back on community supervision at that time, and he was instructed at that time that he was not to consume any alcohol. And during that period of time, went a good period with maybe the rules of not doing alcohol, but he decided to relax and drink and use alcohol, which created a problem. And this board said that he was to come back here, if he was to do it, that he would be violated. And when he was placed on community supervision, he was asked if he understood the terms of condition and read those, and he did. And he violated those, and so at this point in time, although it is almost a little over a year before he would be released again, which is on March 22nd of 2019. However, I just don't see him suitable for community supervision at this time. I will listen to the rest of my colleagues. Okay, Doctor, I'm going to make a motion and move to revoke the community supervision Mr. Bickerhastawa, finding that he was delinquent, violated his term of condition of supervision, had lapses, was about to lapse into criminal ways. So, okay, so the board is voting to revoke the community supervision. He will be released on March 22nd of 2019. So I want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity for appearing before this board. So that is going to conclude your hearing at this time. Thank you.
All right.